It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Morena, Prime Minister, how are you?
Morena, I'm well. How are you?
Very well, thank you. It's lovely to have you back on the show, especially at such an early hour.
Yes, a treat for us all.
A treat for us all. Hey, thank you so much for chatting to us today. We've got some big topics, as per usual. Politics doesn't sleep. Let's start with coronavirus, get a bit of an update on what's going on there. 157 people who had been detained in quarantine for 14 days at Whangaparoa are being let out today, which is great. What would you say to critics who are arguing that we're not doing enough to screen passengers coming in, for example, on cruise ships and aeroplanes, and also for follow-up to quarantining as well?
Yeah, I'd really push back on that, because actually we have one of the more stringent regimes, of course, keeping in mind we still have no confirmed cases in New Zealand. What we put in place over 2 weeks ago now were border control measures. So anyone who's been in mainland China for the previous previous 14 days is unable to come into New Zealand. Except, of course, if you're a resident here, a permanent resident here, a citizen, so you are able to return home. And that's simply because that means you're able to self-isolate. You've got a home here. Someone who's a tourist is not going to do that, or less likely to do that. So those provisions are in place. Not everyone has those. And we've done that based on public health advice. At the same time, at hospitals, we do... airports, we do have public health professionals at our airports, but keeping in mind, we're very mindful that someone who might be a citizen coming home from China, they may not have any symptoms. Well, it's one of the issues with coronavirus is that you may have the virus without displaying symptoms. So we are, and again, one of the few countries I know, I don't know of anyone that's doing this, we are registering people with telehealth. Services are contacting people to check in on their well-being and to ensure that they are following through on the quarantine and are in self-isolation. And so far, that seems to be working well.
So this is obviously affecting a range of different sectors in China, obviously, but also here in New Zealand. We've got everything through from education to tourism and even like the dairy export industry. How worried are you about its long-term consequences for the New Zealand economy, and what is the government doing to lessen this?
Yeah, and so we actually already know China's revising its forecast for growth. Just by virtue of that, that alone has a knock-on effect for us. And then there are the more direct consequences, as you say, of lower tourism numbers and education. Now, at the moment, it's not clear whether tourism will just end up being a postponement rather than cancellations, but we're preparing anyway. We just announced on Monday an additional $11 million for marketing, both in our domestic market, but also predominantly into markets where we have a large draw, Australia, the United Kingdom, other parts of Asia, to make sure that we are supplementing what might have been lost through China. For the education market, 59% of students who study in New Zealand are already here. For those that aren't here, we are looking at whether or not there's a way that we can further accommodate those students getting here for what will be, you know, three-year programs. That's something we're working on. It is quite difficult, but we are making efforts there.
Let's talk a little bit now about some of the serious fraud office investigations that have been going on in the last couple of weeks since we spoke to you. They are currently investigating donations to the Deputy Prime Minister's party. Now, 12 years ago, Winston stood down while there was a serious fraud investigation being conducted. Do you think that he should be stepping down or aside again during this time?
Yeah, and look, ultimately, I see that these are 2008, which you're referring to, and here... one donation's one the past the separately the party's foundation, so he himself, and you know, I don't wish to speak on his behalf on this, but he himself, when asked this exact same question, has pointed out that the foundation is not something that he is involved in. In the same way, of course, he will have heard the National Party leader, two donations made to the National Party currently before the courts, and he has stated that those were matters for the party, not for him as leader. So you have two very, you know, some different situations, but both involving electoral donations currently being investigated. Now, for me, I haven't commented on the National Party. I see those as matters for them. I feel the same way about the administration of the New Zealand First Foundation. I'm going to wait out what the Serious Fraud Office finds. then draw a judgment there, and they haven't done that yet. They haven't finished their investigation. So I want to let that process happen and not leap to a conclusion before they do. But one conclusion I have reached is we need to fix our electoral finance laws. To be in this situation, we have not one but two parties in this situation. Something's gone wrong and something needs to be fixed.
This is something that we spoke to Paula Bennett about last time we had her on the show as well. Are you concerned that this could be putting people off electoral processes as well? Of course, we are an election year and that's a big concern.
Yes, I am. Yeah, I mean, I think it's in all of our interests that people feel like they've got a system that works for them and that's transparent. And when questions like this are raised, it does take us a step backwards in that regard. And I've said that before. So that's why I do think we need to look at our electoral laws. You know, I do ultimately believe, though, I mean, we are ranked number one in the world for transparency and our freedom from corruption. We cannot be complacent about that. Mm. We need to constantly make sure our laws are working for us.
Well, let's talk a bit about state broadcasting and specifically the RNZ-TVNZ merger that's on the cards at the moment. Now, there's a bit of a fear that this merger will reduce the amount of voices examining our government and other facets of our public sectors as well by merging two of our major players. How do you propose to protect democracy and the diversity of our voices through this merger?
I mean, that's the last thing we want is a reduction. In fact, what we're trying to foster is a strong public broadcasting sector in New Zealand. So at the moment, what we're doing, all with the eye to strengthen that, is working out what a business case would look like for bringing under one umbrella what is our public broadcaster in radio and in television. But at the same time, one thing we are very aware of, that these are two entities with very different cultures that bring different things to our media landscape, and we don't want to lose that. But it is all in with a view to strengthen. Remembering we are a government who has put in an extra $10 million into Radio New Zealand, that has acknowledged that, you know, the importance of TVNZ and the mandate that they have. And we've also, with an NZ On Air, we've created basically a fund that allowed other platforms who may not be public broadcasters to seek support to create stories and content that has a public broadcasting mission. So we are trying to grow the voices, certainly not do anything in the opposite direction.
Obviously, within the context of this debate, RNZ has announced that they will be moving Concert to an AM channel and opening a youth station, and now they've paused the decision around moving Concert off of FM.
They've
canned it completely.
Yes.
Sorry, my words wrong there.
It's just there might be people listening that need to know.
Yes, exactly.
Really clear on that. People feel very strongly.
They do. You've publicly expressed in the last week or so some concern with the way these proposals have been rolled out. Can you explain why you were frustrated by that?
Oh, yeah, that was simply because, of course, it's really important. As you've pointed out, we can't play a role in operational decisions by our public broadcasters. You don't want politicians getting there and telling people, you know, what they need to do with the editorial line. But what was being proposed by RNZ to remove Concert from FM, that felt beyond operational. It felt like a decision really about their structure that I think spilled into a place where we had a pretty strong opinion. So, we were frustrated by that because we knew that there were some issues and we were trying to help RNZ resolve them before they made that conclusion around Concert. But we're all on the same page now, and I think things are resolving themselves.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern. It's been a pleasure to have you back on the show, and we'll talk to you again in a fortnight.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.